man versus humanity. Giving versus taking. Structure and system versus chaos. The system of divine metaphysics, which is what Christian Science is all about, is very simple. The problem in realizing this is that not only have we accepted, on the most part, that we are born a sinner and therefore have a constant task ahead of us of working out the problem of being, and the media constantly feeds us lie upon lie about everything. Everything. At the beginning of Science and Health, the textbook of Christian Science by the genius Mary Baker Eddy, three introductory quotes are provided, which are very short, simple, and tell it all. Number one, words of Jesus, quoted by John in the Gospel of John. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Number two is from Shakespeare. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Number three, from Mary Baker Eddy. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest. Thou here and everywhere. And all of those words, such as thou and thee, thy, that is referring to the one and only God. Mary Baker Eddy tells us very plainly to follow your leader only so far as she follows Christ. From Message 1902 to the Mother Church. That ties in directly with the very first quote from Jesus about truth. If you contemplate the quote from Shakespeare, you will realize that what we experience is what we feed into our thought. If we don't feed it into our thought, then our thought is going to respond to universal belief. So it's very important for us to deny any error that is in universal belief, so that we can shift gears from going backwards by believing a universal belief of materialism and shift into neutral and then forward by understanding and following the truth. And the only way we can really understand anything is to live it and prove it to ourselves. We give you a very powerful heads up in our header that says the following. Life eternal, a life of giving, adds and multiplies, spiritual and good. Life lost, a life of taking, subtracts and divides, material and evil. If we pay even the slightest attention to what is going on in our government and the governments of most of the governments around the world, evil divides and attempts to conquer. That's their primary thrust of operation. And they do it through an attitude of deceit, cover-up, lies, and disparaging people's character with lies and deceit and cover-up. The CIA has a program that they've had for 60 years that is called Project Mockingbird. It states, "We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false." One of the recent directors of the CIA stated, "We have courses that teach how to lie, cheat, and steal." With a moral standard like that, it would be wonderful if they would adopt the motto that Mary Baker Eddy did: follow your leader only so far as she follows Christ. It would be great if everyone would adopt the motto, follow the golden rule, period. It would be wonderful if that were taught in every school in America and throughout the whole world. Imagine what a different situation we would have with everything and everyone. There would be no thought of war. There would be no thought of cheating, lying, and stealing. There would be no thought of spending a multiple of what the resources are to fund the spending. We would all be operating on a solid financial background, a base that supported the spending. And if we cut out all improper, immoral spending, we would be operating on a budget more like Russia. Russia's military budget is something I believe it said is around 10% of the budget of the United States. And Russia has the most advanced airplanes, the most advanced missiles, and the largest ground force of any country. They have the largest country, and they have the most natural resources. And they operate on a budget that is 10%, approximately. We do have an enormous swamp that must be taken down, piece by piece. The title was chosen for this recording, although it may change at the end. We'll see where thought leads us. But it was chosen because Genesis 1 states that God made man in his image and likeness. And it said that God gave man dominion over all the earth. Now, when the Bible was written, they believed that earth was probably the only populated planet with human beings. But let's presume that what it really means is that wherever man is, they have dominion over all the circumstances that affects mankind. We have stated that there are three genders, that man represents these three genders. One is male, and characteristics such as courage, strength, life, energy, protection, stamina. Those are some of the words that help define man. Female, words such as caring, nurture, kindness, tenderness, loving, and gentleness. And the third gender is one we have named as neuter. And those are basically qualities that are defined as anything that could be utilized as an adjective to further describe the activities of a male or a female, either one. For example, if we are spiritually seeing, then that could be a man or a woman, or hearing, or feeling, or tasting, or smelling. In other words, if we're following the qualities of soul, which is assuming that you are accepting the spirit as the only substance, which is flawless, then that means the only sense that you can really exercise is spiritual sense. So that's why we call it spiritual seeing, spiritual hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling, and so forth. Intuition, spiritual intuition, is another term that could be utilized as a spiritual sense. That might even be a combination of sight, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. You put that all together and you have an extra sense which gives you a conclusion on something that you may be considering. You have an intuition of what is right and what is wrong about the wisdom that you are applying to any particular decision. And of course, wisdom is a quality of mind, because that's a quality of omniscience. And omniscience is a quality of mind. Omniscience includes omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. So far, the three introductory quotes have been noted. The reverse of truth, which is the object of a very evil-oriented Project Mockingbird, has been described. And by the way, the method they use is for someone that is representing or symbolizing evil in Congress, which is the arm of the federal government that makes laws. They will fabricate a lie about something or someone. Totally false. They will give that to the media, which is corrupt and evil. They will repeat it and say that it has come from an authoritative resource. And then that authoritative resource, which is the evil individual that made up the lie, will quote the media as their source. So it is a circle of lies. And then if it is repeated often enough, the public believes it as being true. And it guides their thought about the individual or the event, and they then form an opinion. Thinking about the second quote, which is what Shakespeare said, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. When the Pharisees asked Jesus about commandments, they said, "Dear good master, what is the greatest commandment of all?" Jesus said, "Why call me good? There is none good but God." There it is. He tells us straight out, he is not God. And yet the majority of all people that call themselves Christians believe that God is a man that was born from a woman's womb called Jesus. People don't even think. They just accept. If we don't do some serious thinking, we are going to be misled. And we're going to be living a lie instead of the truth. So he gives the two commandments, not one. They ask for one. And he says the first and greatest commandment is that ye shall love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. See, he doesn't even stop to breathe. He says the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I believe that he is telling us that you cannot love God, who is not visible, unless you love your brother, who is visible. Jesus is telling us very clearly that we better abide by the golden rule, or we're not even going to be able to get to first base in thinking about God. The definition of God is defined by Mary Baker Eddy on page 465, which is chapter 14, which is recapitulation, which is a summary of chapters 1 through 13, states that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. On page 587, she says God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all-substance, intelligence. And on that same page, 587, she gives us the definition of good, G-O-O-D. Good is defined as God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. And as explained before, omniscience means omni-intelligence, omni-knowing, and omni-wisdom. When you think about those definitions of God, there is nothing left out. In other words, God is everything there is, and all action that takes place within everything that is. In other words, there is no place for accident. Accident is not reality because it is not a part of God. If God is omnipresent, which he is very clearly defined to be, then there is no place for an accident. There is no place for a lie. In other words, the opposite of truth. There's no place for ignorance, the opposite of intelligence. There's no place for a mistake, which is an opposite of truth. There's no place for death, which is the opposite of life. There is no place for matter, which is the opposite of spirit. There is no place for mortal mind, which is the opposite of divine mind. There's no place for personal sense, such as emotion and that kind of thing, because the only sense is spiritual sense. There's no place for chaos, because principle is omnipresent, and principle is balance and harmony. Principle is structure, which includes a system within the structure. There is no place for hate because love is God and everything about God is omnipresent. Mary Baker Eddy has an article that says, love your enemies. And she says, who is your enemy except what you are thinking about in your own consciousness? In other words, an enemy is not a reality, it is only a personal belief about someone or something, some event. For example, war. War is an enemy, but that's only because people are thinking chaos instead of harmony. They're thinking of imbalance instead of balance. They're thinking of lie, cheating, and stealing instead of the golden rule. The golden rule is very simply to do unto others as you would have others do unto you. You see how simple Christian Science is? It is really very simple. Mary Baker Eddy is extremely structured and systematized in everything that she has presented in Science and Health and all of her writings. And yet, the bureaucracy in Boston and the individual teachers out there that are supposedly authorized to teach all teach lies. At least, I don't know of anyone that doesn't. Maybe there is a strange one out there. But basically, they teach never, never, ever think about a formula. Are there any formulas in mathematics? Are there any formulas in music? Are there any formulas in chemistry? Are there any formulas in any science whatsoever? It's easier to say, is there any lack of formulas? Because they all have formulas. They all have structure. They all have a system within their structure. And that's exactly the way Christian Science is. In fact, what does she say on page 146? Mary Baker Eddy states this on page 146. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. And what does she say on page 330? When the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. What does she mean by that? She means you can heal anything and everything. We have a link on our website that says exactly that. Two words, heal everything. And we give you the detailed instructions how you can bring it about in your life or help assist someone else to bring it about in their life. And as I read at the top of every page of our website, which is in the header presently, it says, life eternal, a life of giving, adds and multiplies, spiritual and good. And the definition of good has already been read to you. And on the right side of the page, it says life lost, a life of taking, subtracts and divides, material and evil. That's how evil operates. It subtracts and divides. It tries to conquer. And it cannot touch us if we are aware of how evil operates. And we teach you that in almost every single recording. We have hundreds of recordings. We teach it over and over and over. We're like the opposite of of Project Mockingbird, that wants you to, everything you believe is a lie. Everything you believe is a lie, which is the opposite of the truth. Well, we do the opposite. We want everything that you believe is the truth that is directly from the Bible and the spiritual interpretation of the Bible, which is science and health, which is the system of divine metaphysics. It's very simple. If you want to have success, you have to be structured. You have to have a system within your structure. And everyone needs to work this out as their own salvation. We will give you suggestions that we know work, but you can't just read them as words. You need to internalize them. When you read the page that is entitled How Christian Science Heals, then you will understand how you should proceed. And that, along with the page that says heal everything, and the page that is divine metaphysics, and the system platform, you are on the right track for a transformation of your entire life, for a heaven-bound harmony that you have probably never even touched in the past. Believe me, we are basing everything we say on Mary Baker Eddy's writings and our own demonstration thereof. And if you ever have a doubt about whether or not Christian Science can really heal, read the last 101 pages of the textbook, because there are 85 different testifiers that have been verified by Mary Baker Eddy, and in her final edition of Science and Health of 1910, and it will show you something like 450 or 475 different healings that were experienced by those 85 testifiers. And if you don't have any faith or confidence enough to get you started, then you better read it again and again and again and again until you have put the leaven in your own consciousness so that it will start accepting the truth about Christian Science and the power of truth to heal. Because truth is the healer. Mind is the medicine. In other words, that is the thoughts you must feed into your own consciousness. But truth is the healer. And love is the atmosphere that you must live in order to get anywhere. Even to get the idea introduced to your consciousness, you must have the atmosphere of love. You must live a life of giving. If you're living a life of taking, like 99.9999% of the population, you can't get anywhere with your progress in anything in your life, period. Unless you think progress is a life of matter and mortal mind, then you will go great guns, because that's exactly how evil operates, by taking. Evil operates by taking, taking, taking. If you want a life of heaven, you have to give, give, give. Until you have the right attitude, you cannot get anywhere in Christian Science. And we explain that very clearly in these links that I've just given you the titles for the pages. And right now, those are all at the top of every page on the website. You make one click, and it goes right there. And if we end up changing our heading, which we do frequently, then just go to the menu and look for those titles. It'll either be under prayer treatments or under topics or both. Mary Baker Eddy gave to her metaphysical college classes, which she conducted from 1881 to 1898, short treatments called the Diapason of Heaven. And they're all produced on our website. If you just go to Mary Baker Eddy or go to Topics in the menu, you will be able to click and go directly there with one click. And you can read all seven of them, because they are all linked to the seven terms for God, which I read to you as a part of the definition of God, which are, again, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. It is highly recommended, as she states right in those treatments, to repeat them often. If you repeated them once an hour, it wouldn't be too often. Although instead of doing that, I would suggest you pick one topic that you want to focus on and repeat that one often throughout the day. This is like every science that you can think of. There is a structure, there is a system, and you are going to be much further ahead if you stick with the structure that is proven to be true and the system that enables that structure to work for you. It is very wise not to bite off more than you can chew. For example, Mary Baker Eddy quotes Isaiah at the beginning of chapter 14, which is the summary. Just to remind you, she says, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. She's telling us very clearly, just take a little step at a time. Our message to you, the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, to the listeners of this recording, is to realize that the so-called human mind does not accept change very easily. It has to be indoctrinated. That is why I mentioned that it would be good to pick a topic and then repeat that particular diapason throughout the day. One, not all seven of them. And then maybe tomorrow you want to pick a different one. Maybe you want to go in the order of the days of creation and start with mind and then go to the second one, which is spirit. All you have to do is look at the definition of God on page 465, and she gives you the order of the days of creation. Something else I would like to point out. Everything divine is structured and systematized. We have a chart which compares Genesis chapter 1, which is the days of creation, to the commandments and to the Beatitudes, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount by Christ Jesus, and the verses of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus only gave us one prayer. Mary Baker Eddy, because it is so important, gave us her spiritual sense of that Lord's Prayer, and she spends almost two full pages of introducing us to what the whole concept is of the Lord's Prayer, beginning on the bottom of page 14 of chapter 1 of Science and Health, which is the chapter on prayer. And from the bottom of 14 to the middle of 16, it's an introduction to what the Lord's Prayer is all about. And then she gives us, on page 16 and 17, the original Lord's Prayer by Christ Jesus and her spiritual sense thereof. Those pages from the bottom of 14 to the end of the chapter, which is page 17, are so valuable, we recommend that you become extremely educated on that and that you repeat, recite with great meaning and understanding, which you only get as you prove it to be true. But we recommend that you really focus on that every single day. And she states on the preface to the Lord's Prayer that if you understand the spiritual sense of the Lord's Prayer, you will be able to heal anything instantaneously. Let that sink in. Let it open your door of consciousness and think about the power of what was just reiterated to you from Mary Baker Eddy herself. Study from the end of page 14 through the end of the chapter frequently so that you know it backwards and forwards. That's the only prayer that Christ Jesus gave the world. He taught many things through his 41 parables, and we have them all, not only on the website, but we have the spiritual analysis of those, which is hundreds and hundreds of pages from two very advanced students in Christian Science, which is Stamp and Moss. That's their last names, M-A-A-S, and Stamp, like a postage stamp. All you have to do is click on Christ Jesus in the menu, and it'll give you the whole thing. That is a study that should go on continuously, because that was his method of teaching, the parables. If you want to study about matter and mortal mind, you're going to be wasting your time studying about personality. If you want to learn how to heal, you have to remove the concept of personality from your work. I had an excellent longtime friend and practitioner, and she was really a pro. She told me, she said, qualities, qualities. Everything is qualities. I visited her and her husband one time. I lived, a 1,000 miles or so away. So I didn't get to that particular town because I didn't have much reason to go. But when I did go, I visited her. And one time it was in the summer, and the Summer Olympics were on television. And when I rang her doorbell, which was prearranged, they were watching the Olympics and invited me in to watch them. And gymnastics was the event that they were viewing. And she said, look at the grace that it happened to be a woman. Look at the grace that lady is exhibiting. See, she was thinking of the quality, not the complexity of what she was doing, but the quality of grace. She was living what she was teaching. Qualities, qualities. Everything is qualities. God is qualities. God isn't a person. God is not a person. God is qualities. The definition of God doesn't have anything to do with personality. Nothing. And as Jesus said, why call me good? There's only one good but God. That's one of the first things we need to learn if we haven't learned it yet. Because if we're going to be worshiping Christ Jesus as God, we're not going to get anywhere. They made that decision in 325 AD, and by they I mean the three largest churches and governments in Europe, and they did it purposely to destroy Christianity. And what happened? We went into a 1500-year period of dark ages. Without Christianity, that's exactly what civilization experiences. That's why Mary Baker Eddy prophesied back in 1910 that if Christian Scientists do not do their work, we will experience the longest period of dark ages and the most serious that civilization has ever experienced. And we're on the precipice right now. Have you done anything about it? We have been warning people for years on our website that they needed to take a stand right now. And that was back starting years ago. Most people ignored it. They thought everything was going along fine, so why should we worry? You shouldn't worry. You should take action. And then you will prevent any need to worry. Worry is a result of ignorance. Action is a result of understanding. Action should be in accordance with the system that is working within any given structure. To give you an idea of how strongly I feel the importance of structure is, I keep a record of every hour, every event that I do within every 24-hour period. I can go back to any day for a long time and tell you exactly what I did on that day. So my 24 hours is divided up between various categories, and a percentage calculation is a formula that I have in the form that I use. So I put in the data and it automatically calculates the time and the percentage of the total of that 24-hour period, or whatever, however many hours are recorded as of that moment. So I can keep track throughout the day of how I am proportioning my time. Richard Strain was at the end of his rope. He's an author that's on our website. He went to a practitioner. He said, I don't know what to do. I'm working 18 hours a day. By the time I get home, I'm exhausted. I've got 6 hours to rest and eat and get ready to go back to work. I don't know what to do. Can you help me out? And she's contemplating this for a minute. She's thinking, he said he works 18 hours a day. When is he studying? So she asked him outright, how much do you study? He says, I don't study at all. I have no time. She very clearly stated the following. If you are not devoting 5 hours of serious study a day, you're never going to progress out of your hole. And then she kept quiet. He was shocked. I guess he thought he would be able to just push a button and say, hey, I want you to fix this for me, and then walk out of the office and send her a check. I don't know what he thought. He didn't say. All I can tell you is that he was expecting her to solve his problem. The first thing we have to learn in Christian Science is that no one can solve our problem except ourselves. There's not a practitioner in the world that can solve our problem. Einstein, an avid student of Christian Science, once he realized what it was, said, we should learn a little bit about the holy every day. He also said, curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning. He also said, blessed art thou, with a capital T, because everything that is in this book, referring to science and health. He also said, and I already repeated this previously, but I'll do it again, that if Christian Science is studied systematically and consistently, it is an effective science that will heal. Does he need to say anything else? Everything is in the book. Everything. Oh, he also said, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. Now, I don't know whether he was rounding off the number, but if he really meant 80, she discovered it in 1866, so that would be 1946 he made that statement. About 5 or 10 years before he passed. So she discovered many, many decades before he did. And he devoted his life to figuring out what makes the universe tick. And she had already discovered it 80 years before. He couldn't believe how stupid he was when he could have read it in her book. If he would have been more open to finding out what else there was out there in the way of information. Oh, he said two other very important statements. Well, he said many of them, but two other ones are, science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind. So are you a chemist, a mathematician, a physicist, rocket scientist, a homemaker, a teacher? Doesn't matter what you are. The answers are all in the last few sentences that I've stated here on what you should be doing with your life. Whatever you're doing, it doesn't matter what your profession or your avocation is or how you spend your time. If you are not studying Christian Science in a systematic, structured manner, you are limiting the pleasure and your well-being that you're going to gain from your life, and therefore you are going to be subtracting and dividing your life instead of adding and multiplying it. You are cultivating death instead of life. You are cultivating a life of taking. You're cultivating losing your life because you're going to be focusing on subtracting and dividing it, which is evil and materialism, instead of adding and multiplying it, having a life of giving, focusing on the spiritual and good. If you want to be good to yourself, you cannot be any better than devoting what is required, as stated on these pages that was suggested that you check out. How Christian Science Heals, Divine Metaphysics, System Platform, and Heal Everything. Mathematics, which is a science that most people with even a basic education, although today they're not even getting a basic education in school, but even with a basic education, they normally know how to add and subtract and multiply and divide. They've been introduced to mathematics. They understand that there's 10 digits, 0 through 9. They understand that there's 4 operators, as mentioned just now, add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Anyone that has any education in music knows that there's 8 notes, A through G, and there's 5 black keys, which are the sharps and the flats, to the A through G. Also, everyone knows that music, well, if they have any kind of an education at all in music, they know that music is tied very closely to mathematics. Mathematics is used in music continuously in the structure of music and the system of music. So if you don't know the mathematics of music, you're not going to get very far. If you don't know the structure and system of divine metaphysics, which is what Christian Science is, you're not going to get very far. You're going to be out there in a storm with a ship, and you're not going to have any rudder. You're not going to have any steering wheel, or you're not going to have any lever that lets you control the direction. If you're in a sailboat, you're not going to know which way to even install the, you know, the sail. You're not going to have to even know how to put the sail up. That's what the system of divine metaphysics is all about. It shows you how to operate the ship, which is your consciousness. So what are the elements of the system of divine metaphysics? I've mentioned what they are for music and math. And I could go on with some other ones I'm familiar with. Chemistry has theirs. Every science has theirs. Physics has theirs. Doesn't matter what you are studying as a profession or involved in as a profession. There is a structure and there is a system that is involved with every single thing. There's a principle. And there's laws and rules that operate. And you can either operate within those laws and rules and have the power of those laws and rules to assist you in what you're doing, or you can ignore them and be out there fighting a battle by yourself and trying to reinvent the wheel. It's your choice. Myself, I would rather learn from what has already been discovered by other people and internalize it and adapt it to what I understand it to be and prove it by demonstrating. And if I'm wrong, then I go back to the beginning. One of the greatest geniuses in Christian Science is a man by the name of Frederick L. Rosson. He was a genius at electricity, such that people came to him from all over the world to solve their problems they had in their companies. And this was 100 to 125 years ago, 135 years ago. You know, their form of travel was not going to their local airport and hopping on a jet airplane that travels at 500-600 miles an hour. No, it was horse and buggy, or it was a boat that took 2 or 3 weeks to go from, you know, America to Europe and vice versa. And if you were on the other side of the world and you had to travel 12,000 miles to get to where you wanted to go, well, you can imagine the effort that would be involved to get there. He discovered how to treat back in time. If this is 1910 and you had a problem that occurred in 1900, he could heal the problem for you effective with when you first became aware that there was a problem. He could go back in time 10 years and do it. He had such an understanding of truth that he had a mastery of time. He's the only one I know of that said they used to teach in school that there is no time. Now, he's from the UK. I don't know whether they ever taught that in the US or not, but they don't teach it anymore because the commercial corrupt businesses want to continue their corrupt practices. We don't need electric companies that charge us, gosh, I used to pay thousands of dollars a month in electricity when I was in business. It could have been free. Tesla proved that in 1900. And they wouldn't let him bring it to market because they wanted to protect their industry of the electric. With all the electric poles and all the wires and cables and all the supports, it's totally absurd. Our patent office has been controlled by the UK. Our constitution was rewritten by the UK, by the Rothschild family. The UK never got over the fact that America was discovered from some of its brightest people, like Benjamin Franklin and so forth. And so they kept trying to figure out how they could steal America back. This country that was founded to be free. So, being a symbol of evil, they knew divide and conquer was the first thing you do. So, they imported a bunch of people from South Africa to the southern states of the U.S. to work as slaves out in the farms, growing cotton and so forth. That was step number one, because they wanted to have cheap products. How can you get it any cheaper if you have slaves that do all the work? So that's what they did. And then their second thought was, okay, let's create a civil war between the North and the South. The North wants to have the slaves free, and the South wants to keep them. So that's what they did. The UK, headed by the Rothschild family, created the Civil War in the U.S. And unfortunately, Honest Abe took the bait. As a result, the monetary system of the U.S. was destroyed. We were bankrupt. Couldn't pay our bills. Besides that, we had hate between the North and the South. Hate. Hate gets no one anywhere fast. So we had a constitution that was in 1789. Took some years after our 1776 liberation before we got the Constitution. So what they did is they bankrupted the U.S. They knew that if they did that, then Abe Lincoln would have to come to the Rothschild family to get money to save the country. Well, they didn't save the country. He enslaved the country. And he says, well, we'll give you the money, but you've got to accept this constitution. So they wrote a new constitution in 1871. That's the one that finally got adopted by the U.S. That was after Abe had already been assassinated. He was assassinated because he did not want to keep the constitution that he was forced to take, and he wanted to go back to our original constitution. So they assassinated him. Same thing they did with President Kennedy. President Kennedy knew the U.S. government was corrupt from beginning to end. He wanted to shut down the CIA, take it apart piece by piece. But he was stupid. He wasn't smart like President Trump. President Trump was an expert on the art of war, the expert on the art of the deal, the expert on negotiation. So he didn't tell his enemy what he was planning to do. Instead, he started eating away at it, arrest by arrest, hanging by hanging. And he has taken out something like 3 former presidents, vice presidents, secretaries of state, families, corrupt families, hacking away here and there, here and there. And so far as the present administration is concerned, Biden has been an actor by the name of Arthur Roberts and 5 others. And the government has been run by the deep state. And behind the scenes, Trump is the commander in chief and has been arresting and hanging the top people of almost every agency. Secretary of State is gone. Secretary of Defense is gone. Joint Chiefs of Staff is gone. You know, that was the number one military man, Milley. The CDC, Fauci is gone. Fauci's top people are gone. National Institute of Health director is gone. So far, Trudeau has not shown up since he came down to visit Trump after he left Trump's facility there at Mar-a-Lago. No one seems to know what happened to him, but he hasn't shown up in Canada yet. These people have been arrested one after another. They arrested 950 medical doctors in one day. Did a sting operation. They're the ones that promoted the pandemic, which was all fraud on the American people. And they were, you wouldn't believe what they were doing to the people that would not take the jab. Anyway, we have everything recorded on our website, and we've been talking about it since the beginning. So a lot of things have been happening behind the scene. The 2020 election, 2022 election, was all a sting operation. And Trump bowed out purposely in 2020, even though he won big, because he knew he could work better behind the scenes when no one thought he had any power or influence, when in fact he never gave up anything. He never gave up the nuclear codes. No one else has ever been in the White House that has been locked and under lock and key and guarded by the U.S. Marine Corps. Biden has never set foot in the White House. They build a fake White House in 2 or 3 different locations, which is just a facade. It's like they do in the movies. They will have the front of it look like it's real, and the rest of it is all fake. They have a movie set behind the fake wall. Biden has never flown in the presidential plane, you know, Air Force One, never flown in it, never set foot inside of it. Never set foot inside of any airplane that had the presidential call sign on it. He doesn't have any authority to do anything. He's done some things, all of which can be made null and void because he was never the president. They had 3 cannons go off at his inauguration, and that is the celebration of wouldn't call it a celebration, but it's the ritual for the death of a president. And that's what they did with him on January 20, 2021. So he was given a funeral, and he hasn't been seen basically since that time. All of this is public information if people know where to look. We give a lot of it on our website and in these prayer treatments. But you have to have the attitude that you need to have if you're going to make any progress in Christian Science. And if you're going to be a taker, which is 99.999% of the people, we have a very large website, over 100 authors, and we have thousands of visitors to our website. Thousands. How many people a day do you think make a donation to our website? Take a guess. Take a wild guess on how many people you think are givers. Almost none. We may have a couple a month. Thousands and thousands of people visit the website. People send us messages that said, that's the first thing I do every day. Thank you so much for your website. Who do they think pays for it? The staff of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute pays for the website because there are no donations. Everybody is a taker. Everybody is a taker. If they can get it free, they take it. We give, 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 give. And they take, 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 take. And they wonder why they don't have healings. I have a friend who has his own Christian Science website. He sells everything. Everything he has, he sells. I called him up one time and I said, do you ever visit our website? I've known him for 20 years. He said, yeah, I'm there all the time. I've downloaded everything you have. Whenever you put something up new, I get it. My wife and I are always playing something from your website. We got it going on all day long. They work out of their home. If they work, I don't know. I didn't ask him. I haven't talked to him for a long time about his activities. How much do you think he's donated? How many times do you think he's donated? The answer to both questions is none. Nada. Nothing. And you know what happened? About 2 weeks after I called him, he called and said, my wife and I are really having a tough time. Could the Mary Baker Eddy Institute make a donation to us? We sent him money. Our job is to give. Our job is not to judge. Your job is to conduct your life. We don't try to conduct your life. We offer every tool imaginable so you can progress the most rapidly that anybody could possibly do in Christian Science. But whether or not you follow the structure and the system is up to you. The Institute, or me individually, don't lose anything because you are a taker. The Bible says we should tithe. Tithe means a tenth part. That's for an average student. Are you a C student? Were you a C student in school? Well, that would be 10%. How much do you make a month? Or if you're on retirement, how much do you receive in Social Security a month? Are you giving 10% of it? How many houses do you have? How many cars do you have? How about your clothes? Do you have a closet full of clothes and you wear a few things and the rest of it is wasted space? What do you give away? Do you smile? Do you give a smile when you're walking down the street? Are you happy and joyful and express that to everyone you see and talk with? Do you appreciate the clerks? If you go into a store and they do and they're efficient, do you thank them? Tell them you can see they're a professional. They're doing their job very well. Thank you for being efficient. I really appreciate that. Probably not. Do you tip the person at the end that's supposed to be, well, they don't give out bags anymore in the U.S., but they're supposed to be gathering your things and putting them in your grocery cart. Do you thank them for it? Do you give them a tip? How about people that are outside the store that are begging for money? Do you throw them a coin, maybe a quarter or 50 cents or something? Or nothing. How about folding money? You give them $1, $5, $10? Look in the mirror. Ask yourself, what am I giving? What have I given today? What did I give yesterday? What did I give in the last week, the last month, the last year? If you file a tax return, how much did you put down there for your donations? How much did you really give? Maybe you took a standard deduction and you didn't have to keep a record of it. Do you keep a record of your expenses, what you spend? If you want to be a B student, you got to give more than 10%. If you want to be an A student, you got to give more than a B student. If you want to be an A plus student and really go somewhere in your life, you better forget altogether about the 10% and probably the 20% and probably the 30%. I know somebody that makes millions and millions of dollars and they give away everything they don't need. They're a writer, very popular writer. And when they put out a new book, they make millions and millions. As soon as they get the money, they then devote their time to giving it away, calling universities and figuring out, you know, how much they want to give and what they're going to specify to be used for and whatever. Andrew Carnegie, around 1900, he was one of, if not the richest man in the world. He sold his company and it became U.S. Steel. And after he did that, he devoted the rest of his life to giving his money away. But he wanted a little ego to be expressed, and so he put his name on all the buildings and libraries and so forth that he built. Most people do. They want recognition. Our job is to give. Not to give so that we can get recognition. Our job is to give without qualification. We have to do it intelligently. If we're not intelligent in our giving, then we're making a very big mistake. You can't even give to the Red Cross anymore. It's corrupt. I used to think Consumer Reports was a place I could find out the facts about a product that I was researching. Nope. They get under the table money from companies who want their product to be judged to be the best. Mary Baker Eddy was right. If we don't practice what she taught, we're going to be facing the biggest dark ages civilization has ever known. And that's where we are. We're on the edge of nuclear war. We got some idiots out there. And it comes from it comes from the country of which I'm a citizen. that is controlling all of Europe. And if they had the nuclear codes, we would be in a nuclear war. But Trump was too smart, and he never gave them the nuclear codes. They wrecked his Mar-a-Lago building estate trying to find him. And now the FBI director is on the run because there's an arrest warrant out for him. They thought they were going to nab him here 2 or 3 weeks ago because they had his house staked out and he was inside the house. And somehow he escaped. They can't figure out how. Maybe he dressed as a woman. I don't know. Like in that one movie I watched. Anyway, he got away. So he's on the run. The director of the FBI that arrested all those people on January 6th and the one that raided Mar-a-Lago totally illegally has been running the FBI on total illegal standards. Yeah, he's on the run. So he's the one that has not been caught as of now. He almost was caught a couple of weeks ago and he would be down in Gitmo, but he got away somehow. They can't figure out how he got out of the house without being seen. So he must have had an escape something. They couldn't find any tunnels. I don't know how seriously they tried. If he had wall-to-wall carpet, did they rip up all the carpet in all the rooms? I don't know. Did they check all the walls to make sure none of them were moving? I don't know. But he got away. They've gotten a lot of other top dogs, but they didn't get him. So, he's on the run. From being the one that wrote the most wanted list that posted on the post office walls, now he is on the post office walls as being on the most wanted list. I presume. I don't go to a post office. But that's where he probably is, because they want him. He's treasonous. He's, you know, the indictment is for treason. Well, let me just give you, so you have no question about the system of divine metaphysics, just the basics. I've told you what the seven operators are, or not the seven operators, the seven elements: mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. The operators, just like math, is the add, subtract, multiply, and divide. The operators of the system of divine metaphysics is the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and science. The Word is all the facts about God. The Christ is translating whatever you see visibly into spiritual terms. Qualities. And if you're seeing an evil act, then you have to flip it. Christianity is demonstrating what God is and the translation that you made to convert it from the visible to the invisible qualities, and then proving that you understand it enough that you bring about a healing. That's Christianity. It's living the life like Christ Jesus did, and Mary Baker Eddy and Frederick L. Rawson, Wentworth Winslow, Bliss Knapp, other great ones in Christian Science, so that you can heal anything. Frederick L. Rawson doesn't mention hardly anything about his healing efforts except in very generic terms, like he said he healed 500 different cases back in time. Wentworth Winslow gives you a little more details. He raised the dead. He healed all the other illnesses that you can imagine, but he doesn't state it about him doing it. He makes up a story about he knows of a practitioner that did this or that. The same with Ellen Wright. She's very modest. They don't talk about them doing anything themselves. So that's the third one. Demonstrating it, proving it that you understand it. And then science is being it. In other words, like Christ Jesus, he would automatically, when he saw someone in his travels that was blind or whatever the problem is, leprous, he would automatically translate it to knowing their true nature as a child of God. And he would ask them if they had any faith that they could be healed. Because he didn't make very many healings in Galilee, because they thought of him as a child or as a carpenter. So he didn't spend much time there. He went on to other places because they didn't have any faith. If the person is not open to the healing, if they are not having faith, in other words, trusting something that they have no proof of because they have studied enough to realize that other people have been healed, and yes, they want to be healed, and they want to be healed by Christian Science. But they have to do some work to get to the introduction. Otherwise, a practitioner can never help them. They have to help themselves first. To begin with, they have to be cultivating being a giver. Are they giving? Are they giving of themselves? Are they giving at least 2 hours and 24 minutes a day, which is 10% of 24 hours? I mean, that's C student. That's a C student. If I were someone trying to help someone else, I want to work with A-plus students. I don't want to work with a C student. They've got to have enough gumption to want to become an A-plus student. I'm not going to waste my time with a C student. They're just wishy-washy. You'll never be successful with them. They're never going to have a healing. No, not me. I'm the kind of a guy that has a schedule. I know where I spend my 24 hours. And I'm not going to spend it with somebody that is an average C student. They're too lukewarm for me. I want a dynamo. If I tell them what they need to do, they go and run with it. And I'm not into practice, by the way. Don't get me wrong. But we have people contact us all the time that want us to be involved in healing them, and I treat them all the same way. I said, I will guide you on how you can do it, but I'm not going to take you as a case where you just delegate it to me and then you sit there and wait to have some magic thing happen to you. I said, I'm devoted to all humanity with devoting 18 hours a day, 7 days a week on our website. So we have everything on the website, and I can show you where to go and what to read, what to study, and how to proceed. And as I mentioned a couple times already in this recording, you know, we have a button there that says How Christian Science Heals and Heal Everything, and also Divine Metaphysics and System Platform. We give you all the tools, and I will hold your hand, but you've got to run with it. I've offered my time free on telephone calls. I've spent hours on phone calls. Everyone has a desire to get it, but very few have a desire to make it happen. It's just like everything. Most of the people are C students. You got a few B and you've got a fewer number of A's. Okay, so that is the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. The four operators. And mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. The seven elements. We give you the structure, we give you the system, the formulas. Forget what the church in Boston says. They don't know anything. Except they just want to control all the branch churches, which is totally against the manual. The manual says that the mother church is supposed to be self-expiring because it requires Mary Baker Eddy's signature to continue all of the important factions, all the important functions of the church. So it should have expired back around 1915 or so, 1920 at the latest. But no, here it is, 105 years later, they're still trying to control everybody. And so what has happened to the number of Christian Science churches? It's gone down from the large number that we had. We had 40 or 50 churches in every big city. And now you'll be lucky to find two or three that are operating. So it has shrunk at least 90%, probably more, probably 95%. Find a practitioner that will be instrumental in a healing for you. Find one. I challenge you to find one. If you want a practitioner that can heal, look in the mirror. We'll show you how to do it, but you have to do it. Yeah, you have to do it. No one's going to do it for you. You have to work out your own salvation. It's there. It's possible. You can do it. We'll encourage you. We'll give you all the tools. We'll tell you exactly the process to follow, but you have to do it. The discipline has to be yours. Yours. Y-O-U-R-S. It has to be the one you see when you look in the mirror. And you better start by getting the right attitude. And that means you better be a giver. If you're not a giver, you're wasting your time with Christian Science. Jesus was the perfect example of a giver. Mary Baker Eddy, a perfect example of a giver. Frederick L. Rawson, Wentworth Winslow, Bliss Knapp. We've got a lot of authors on our website that were givers. And they were successful. But they are a small decimal, a 0.0 with a lot of more zeros before there's a 1. A very tiny amount, less than 0.1%, less than 0.001% are givers. You should get to the point where you are guilty if you are not giving, that you are going to be looking all day long for qualified people you can give to that have a need, and you find the need and you're creative about giving anonymously. Are you that person? If you're not, don't bother calling me and asking me for advice or for giving you a treatment. Nope. If you're not that person, you will never get anywhere. So I'm not going to waste my time. I've given away hours and hours and hours of advice to people, and they don't do it. They don't have the gumption to have the discipline. They want it to happen free. They want it to be free. Nothing is free. One of the most corrupt companies is Google. Probably second to them is Microsoft and Apple. Yep. Corrupt, corrupt, corrupt. They're all corrupt. They're takers. They're takers. And you bite on it thinking you're getting something for nothing. Google collects all your information and they sell it. Yep. They've got facial recognition on you. They've got They've got cameras all over the world. They know when you come and go from your house. Yeah, they've got it all. They've got it all. Well, this is already an hour and 30 minutes long, so I'm going to bring this to a close by telling you that I am extremely grateful for everything that I've learned from everyone that I've learned from, all of the Bible characters, Abraham, Moses. You know, Abraham had to trust. He was going to kill his own son. He had to trust God. And when God knew that he could trust him, then he said, don't do it. So I've learned from Abraham, Isaac. In fact, if you want to learn the Bible, the way to do it, and believe me, I've researched a lot of resources. I've spent a lot of money. I spent $800 just on one piece of software. I've spent thousands and thousands of dollars on Bible study tools. And the best one I've found is on our website. It's free as of now. It's a 169-page book by Dr. Robert C. Putnam. He was a chemist at his PhD. And he was a student of Bliss Knapp. Bliss Knapp was under Mary Baker Eddy's tutelage since he was about 6 or 7 or 8 years old, because his father was Ira Knapp, and he was one of Mary Baker Eddy's first lecturers back in around 1880. Traveled all over the U.S., horse and buggy, and train wherever the trains went and so forth to get there. And his wife passed on early, tragedy, and they had a young son. So Mary Baker Eddy took him under her tutelage, and his name is Bliss Knapp. Bliss Knapp was not an investment advisor. He devoted his life to teaching and lecturing on Christian Science. But when he passed on, he had an estate of $400 million. How'd he get it? Through Christian Science. He was led to invest in land in California back in the very early 1900s. And when he passed on, I don't know when it was, I think it was around 1950 or 60 or something. Maybe it was 70. Anyway, it was worth $400 million. He didn't manage it or anything. He just sat on it. He has the best understanding anybody could get in Christian Science from Mary Baker Eddy herself. Because up until the time she passed on, that was his source. So Dr. Robert C. Putnam was his student. So if it's anything from Putnam, it's really because of the teachings of Bliss Knapp. So he wrote this book, 10 Bible Lessons. He taught Sunday school for 30 years or 35 years, and he did extreme research on the Bible. And this 169-page book will tell you everything you need to know about every important character in the Bible. But I will warn you right now that that 169-page book is like an index, a summary. And before you can really get the most out of each page and each Bible character he discusses, you have to read maybe hundreds of pages of references out of the Bible, where he backs up by documentary proof every single thing he says. But that's the best you can get in learning the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. 10 chapters, 10 Bible lessons. It is worth its weight in gold. It is the best of the best. So there's your answer. If you want to learn the Bible, that's it. And of course, one of our first tenet is Christian Science is the inspired word of the Bible as our sufficient guide to eternal life. So you know darn well the Bible is going to be preaching about giving, right? Because I tell you right there at the top of every page, eternal life. Life eternal is a life of giving. So you know the Bible is going to be about giving. Giving, giving, giving. Are you a giver or a taker? If you're not, you better learn to be a giver. Because if you don't learn to be a giver, you might as well forget about Christian Science. You don't know anything about, and you don't want to know anything about Christianity if you're not going to be a giver. Period. You're not going to get any advice from me if you've been going to our website for years and you've given nothing, or you've given $50 or $100 a year. That's it. You're on your own. Because you're not a giver. And if you're not a giver, you're not going to be successful in Christian Science. You can't be, because you're violating the rules of Christian Science, which is giving, which is love. Love is the summation of mind, soul, spirit, principle, life and truth. You're violating that. You'll never be able to be able to express love if you're not giving, because that's what love is. I'm very grateful for all the practitioners, all the advanced students, such as the ones I've mentioned here several times in this recording. Fluno is another great one. Fluno wrote an article about criticism. It was so good, Mary Baker Eddy sent him all around the United States promoting that one article on criticism, one topic. You know what he says? He says criticism is the source of all evil. How about that? All evil. If you criticize anyone for anything, you are Mr. or Mrs. Evil. Yep, that's it. That's it. Criticism is the number one evil. She sent him all over the U.S. lecturing on that one word, criticism. And you know what Mary Baker Eddy did? Mary Baker Eddy stopped every hour what she was doing. And I think she probably worked 18 hours a day. She stopped every hour to make sure in self-examination that she was not criticizing anyone or anything about anything. Period. And she had her whole board of directors that hated her. Almost everybody hated her, because they couldn't relate to how advanced she was and how poor they were, because they wouldn't put forth the effort and study. They wanted to snap their fingers. You had a handful of serious students who came to the crucifixion of Jesus. Half a dozen people. One man, John, and four or five women. His mother was there. Mary Magdalene was there, the one that washed his feet and dried him with the hairs of her head and used his fragrant, expensive oil. She transformed from being a woman of ill repute to being his most loyal follower. She's the one that was the sister of Lazarus that he healed from being dead. And when Jesus went to visit him, Mary was the one that wanted to spend the time with Jesus, while Martha was the one preparing the food. And Martha came in there and told Mary, says, "Why aren't you out here helping me prepare the food for our feast that we're going to have to honor Jesus?" And Jesus, as you know, said, "Martha, Martha, Mary is the one that is doing the important thing. She wants to learn about what I'm doing and how I do it. And you're worried about food." He said, forget the food. You should be in here learning. So that's what his thoughts were on Mary Magdalene. She was the one that wanted to learn more and more. She had an insatiable desire. And she showed up at the cross. Yep. She and Jesus' mother and two or three other women. That was it. Out of the thousands and thousands that he taught, we don't even know how many because they didn't even count women and children. You know, 4,000 in one place and 5,000 in another time, plus women and children. So there were probably 10 or 15,000 people at each place. He probably could have filled a football stadium. Yep. Yep. And how many came to his crucifixion? You know, Jesus is the one that dictated Revelation to John on the island of Patmos. So he ascended and came back in the flesh to dictate that to John. It's all documented in the Bible. If we read it, it took the genius of Dr. Robert C. Putnam to open our eyes. I'm very grateful for every truth that has been brought to the surface. You know, these are all extemporaneous, so I only had a thought for the original purpose, which was love. Didn't know any idea what thoughts would come to me. I'm grateful for all of the thoughts that came to the surface. They all came from God. If they're truth, they came from God. If they're a lie, they came from me. I didn't get self out of the way. Like Mary Baker Eddy said, when she got Mary out of the way, she could do instantaneous healing. If I didn't get myself out of the way, then I'm sorry, I apologize. But whatever truth did come forth, I'm grateful for. We always want to close with something to kind of seal the treatment. I'm going to state the scientific statement of being. I know you've all heard it hundreds of times if you've had any exposure to Christian Science, but it is so powerful and it's so easy to substitute words when it says there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. We could put anything in there we want. Do we have a stomach ache, a headache? Did we cut off our finger? I know a guy had his finger cut off and he went to the hospital and they just sewed it back on. Yeah, they did. I lived next door to him. A long time ago. 20 years ago. Or more. Yeah, it was more. Anyway, really study that scientific statement of being. And as long as you keep with truth, you can substitute words. And it'll be very effective. I had a healing of a growth above my right eye from using the scientific statement of being, and I substituted those words. There's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in the belief of a growth above my right eye. All is infinite mind. And is infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. The belief of a growth above my right eye is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. A belief of a growth above my right eye is unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and I am God's image and likeness. Therefore, I cannot have a growth above my right eye, for I am spiritual. Thank you, dear Father, Mother, God, for being all in all source and all manifestation. And that includes me and everyone in all existence. Amen.